Leviticus chapter 11. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, These are the living things which you may eat among all the animals that are on the earth. So this is the division between clean and unclean animals. You've got to remember, though, what we are told by Paul in Romans, there is nothing unclean of itself. So there was another reason, I think, beyond just that some animals are clean and others are not clean. There was something more. This whole division, I think, was to teach Israel separation and the principle of separation. So whatever parts the hoof and is cloven-footed, and choose the cud among the animals that you may eat. I think the idea is the animals that had a hoof that parted and that was therefore going to give them a stable grip on the rock. They could eat that, and also that choose the cud. What that means is that some animals, they have more than one stomach. They eat food, and they chew it up, and it goes into one of their tummies, and then they, as it were, vomit it up into their mouth again. They chew it up, and it goes into another stomach. And some of them have got five or six stomachs. So they're not at all like human beings. So, you could say, therefore, that perhaps the idea is that they should eat the animals that thought about life, that chewed their food carefully rather than gobbled it down. Or you could say that they were the animals that were sure-footed and didn't slip and stumble. And they were warned that there were some that chewed the cud, but didn't part the hoof like the camel. And they were told, don't eat camels, because he chews the cud, he's got several stomachs, but doesn't have a parted hoof, he's unclean. Maybe that looks ahead to those people who can eat God's word, think about it, understand it, but their way of life is totally wrong. Or the opposite, there were animals that parted the hoof, but they don't chew the cud. For example, the pig is an example of that that's given here. So, yeah, they appear to walk in a good way, in a solid sort of way, but they don't believe, but they don't actually take God's word into them. And then they're told about clean and unclean fish, all that don't have fins and scales in the seas and in the rivers, of all that move in the waters, they shall be an abomination to you, and you are to detest them. And you are to detest even their carcasses. Well, this language of abomination, that some animals were to be an abomination, that's the same word used for idols. The idols were an abomination to God. So I think that this division of the animals in this way was because the unclean ones had association with the idols. And I think that the law of Moses was saying, don't even go near that which has association with idols. For example, they used to worship pigs in some of those Canaanite societies. And God is saying, don't even go there. Don't even have these ideas put in your mind. Just keep away from those animals that they worship. That's why they're called an abomination. What does that mean for us? It means don't even put yourself in the way of temptation. For example, if you're young and you wear a t-shirt that's got someone, a picture of someone, a pop singer on the front who does drugs, and it's got some rather rude comment on it, and the guy's name or the woman's name. No, it doesn't mean that you do drugs. It doesn't mean that you necessarily will do drugs or use bad language. But it is an association that is better not to have. And quite simply, if we love God, we won't want to go that way. That's why Paul says something similar. He says, don't even talk about the sins which the Gentiles do. And I think that goes for, don't watch them on the screen. Be careful what you watch. Fill your mind with good things and not with all that garbage in the world. And it's no good thinking that, well, I don't do those things. I don't murder. I don't steal. I don't do this, that, or the other. Okay, yeah, So you don't, but you can sort of almost do it by taking pleasure in those who do them. And as Paul says, there is such a sin as taking pleasure in those who do these things, even if you don't do them. So I think that's another aspect on this division of all the animals into clean and unclean. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, we're told that he declared all food clean. So then when Jesus died, all these Jewish laws were taken away in any case. And that's why Paul says it doesn't matter what you eat. Actually, everything's created by God to be eaten. Just receive it with thanksgiving. So the habit of praying to God before you eat is good. Now, if in fact eating these unclean animals was somehow awful and just of itself, well, that wouldn't have changed then, would it, when Jesus died? And as Jesus said, it's what comes out of the heart, not what goes into the mouth, that makes a person unclean. And it says that he said that, making all food clean. So he did away. So there are now no unclean things for us. The focus is not upon, or be careful what you eat. It's rather, be careful what you think and be careful what comes out of your heart. Be careful what you think. And so whoever touched the carcass of these animals, these unclean ones, would be unclean until the evening. He who carries their carcass shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the evening. It's as if you sort of accidentally touched one of these animals, well, you had to be unclean. But if you willfully picked one up and carried its dead body, its carcass, then you had to wash your clothes as well. You were even more inconvenienced, as it were. So God understood that maybe you did have to carry the carcass of an animal. Maybe a pig just died there, blocking your path or whatever, and you did have to pull the thing out of the way. On whatever any of them falls when they are dead, it shall be unclean, whether it is any vessel of wood or clothing or skin or sack. Whatever vessel it is with which any work is done, it must be put into water, and it shall be unclean until the evening. Then it will be clean. I think the idea was that you didn't, therefore, have these animals near you. You just kept away from them. You certainly didn't have them as pets or any kind of domestic animal. Everything whereupon part of their carcass falls will be unclean. If it's an oven or a range for pots, it will be broken in pieces. They're unclean and shall be unclean to you. So then, I think the idea is that there is, well, as Paul says, there's nothing unclean of itself. It is not that these animals were somehow full of germs which the clean animals weren't. That is a myth. It is true that some of these animals, like pigs, can appear particularly dirty, but I don't think that it's true that some animals are somehow morally clean and some are unclean and some are more hygienic than others. I don't think that is quite fair. More, I think the idea is, as I say, is that God gave them this sort of exercise as a way of practicing separation. Because that's what holiness means, to be separated from things and separated unto the positive things. And that is really what our lives are all about, a separation. Being able to tell good from bad. Now, unfortunately, that is not really very popular in the world today, to be able to tell good from evil. People can't tell good from evil. Is this right or is this wrong? Because they don't have any sort of moral compass. All they have is what they think, their gut feeling, what they see on the screen, what they're told at school, what they're told by their friends at work, what they're told by their family. Because the only ultimate truth in moral things, in standards, moral standards, is God's word, not the words of man. So many times God tells his people, you're to live by my laws and not by the laws of the people around you. We've got to accept God's moral standards. And the point is that there has to be a separation between the clean and the unclean. You see wrong things, keep away from it. What does this work out at? If people say to you, hey, come to a party tonight, there's a party on Friday, come on. And you know that there's going to be bad stuff going on there, well, divide between the clean and the unclean and don't go. It's as simple as that. Whereas we can all too easily sort of justify it, oh, well, actually, they're quite nice people. Oh, well, they just let their hair down now and again. No, make a division between what is right and what is wrong. For I am Yahweh your God. Sanctify yourselves. Make yourselves holy and be holy, for I am holy. I am Yahweh who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy.